You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Honor in the martial arts. Honor is a commonly used word in martial arts circles. But, as is so often the case with language, the word can mean different things to different people, in different cultures, and at different times in history. Some of the different meanings people might ascribe to this word would include status, loyalty, reputation, respect, integrity, personal code, honesty, dignity, or pride. Sometimes it's useful to look at what people think is the opposite of a word. Some common opposites of honor might include shame, insult, embarrassment, indignity, disrepute, dishonesty, disloyalty, disrespect, and betrayal. I discussed in earlier podcasts the concept of status among a group of primates, including humans. Your level of status within the group determined whether you had greater or lesser access to food, other resources, and mating partners. When another member of the group threatened your status, it often led to violence. As humans multiplied and began moving into towns and cities, larger political entities evolved. Towns became cities, cities combined to make kingdoms, kingdoms were joined into empires. An integral part of this expansion was conflict between these different political entities. In other words, war. As war became more frequent, many of the cultures developed warrior classes. A common theme among warrior classes is a code of honor. In some ways, this code was an evolved and formalized version of the earlier primate status system. Thus, many, if not most, traditional codes of honor are essentially social mechanisms that inhibit undesirable behavior from warriors and soldiers. Among these behaviors would be unnecessary violence among those who are the most competent at doing violence. Another behavior that would be addressed is disloyalty. The code of honor would have emphasized obedience and loyalty to the military leadership, and also as a reward, established a prestigious status for the warrior compared to the average citizen. Thus, the warrior's status was cemented as below the political and military leadership and above much of the rest of society. Outside of cities, a somewhat different form of warrior culture evolved. The growth of cities tended to stem from a change from a hunting-gathering economy to a farming economy. Other societies converted to a pastoral or animal-herding economy. This led to a nomadic lifestyle, thus the lack of cities, moving frequently in search of fresh grazing. Even though this did not lead to the development of cities, it did frequently lead to the development of warrior societies. These warriors were usually employed when raiding other pastoral tribes to steal livestock or when defending against such raids. In such tribes, the warriors were made up of most of the able adult males and thus didn't constitute a class per se. The entire culture could be referred to as a warrior society, a society with its own strict code of honor. What purpose did such codes serve? First and foremost, honor codes helped function as primitive systems of law and order. When that many trained and armed fighters spend a great deal of time in close proximity, very dangerous friction can result. Unnecessary violence within an army is obviously not desirable. An honor code would act as an inhibitor, reducing the number of violent incidents, and setting up guidelines and customs for dueling, so that violence which can't be stopped is formally confined to only the two combatants. As I said earlier, honor can mean many different things to different people. In many Asian cultures, honor is referred to as face, as in, he did that so that he wouldn't lose face. In these cultures, the group is emphasized above the individual. Honor stems from upholding and exemplifying the standards of the group. Dishonor stems from failing to do this. The opposite of this particular flavor of honor is shame. You have shamed both yourself and the group. It's impossible to feel shame if you don't care what the group thinks of you. This version of honor strongly reinforces feelings of loyalty to political and military leaders. In the Japanese military culture, sufficiently severe dishonor or shame may have led a warrior to beg the permission of his feudal lord to commit ritual suicide, or seppuku. This extreme act restored the honor of the shamed warrior. Many thought that this restored honor would pass on to the warrior's next incarnation after his self-inflicted demise. The honor versus shame concept was also applied outside of military circles, most especially to families. This was a way of further reinforcing socially accepted behavior. An example of this is to use the pressure of family honor to control the behavior of women. This was prevalent in many societies, and in our time is best known in some cultures of the Muslim world through the practices of honor killing and female genital mutilation. A somewhat different form of honor obtains in some cultures where the individual is given more importance. The Germanic tribes of Iron Age Europe are examples of this, and by extension, many European cultures and American cultures descended from them. In such a culture, the status and dignity of the individual are more in focus, and the opposite of honor is less like shame and more like insult. In such a culture, insult must be addressed. Otherwise, the insulted warrior loses honor. As I described earlier, insult would lead to challenge, followed by a duel. This type of dueling code persisted in parts of European, North American, and South American culture until the late 1800s. By modern standards, dueling is an inexcusably violent act, as it should be. We lost one of our most brilliant founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton, to a duel. The man who killed him was the sitting Vice President of the United States, Aaron Burr. Dueling was technically illegal at this time, but Burr was never prosecuted. All charges were dropped. But in a culture where insult can lead to feuds, or even wars, dueling is, relatively speaking, a progressive concept. It confines the violence to the participants alone, thus insulating the friends and families of the combatants from further violence while still satisfying honor. Another aspect of honor in a more individualistic society is that of keeping your word. In such a warrior society, one of the worst things you can call someone is oathbreaker. When the importance of the individual warrior is emphasized, being confident of who you can trust at your side or back is vital to survival. In modern times, similar codes serve a functional purpose in subcultures where violence is still commonplace. This would include impoverished neighborhoods and prisons, and to a lesser degree, to school playgrounds. Standing up to a playground bully, whether you win or lose the fight, will garner a different reputation than running away or enduring an uncontested beating. While the word honor may not often be used in these contexts, the code is still quite similar. Alternative words like respect and disrespect are often used. And of course, we do still have military forces actively engaged in conflict, and honor is a very important concept for those who serve. But somehow I think that even there, the concept of honor has evolved beyond one that results in dueling. The vast majority of us live now in a culture with far less violence than ever before. At the risk of playing a game with semantics, I submit that honor still has a place in this less violent world, but with an updated meaning. Keeping your word, holding to a standard of excellence in your work and your other pursuits, conducting your affairs with courtesy, learning to think critically in a way that allows you to rise above your baser instincts, and dedicating yourself to the pursuit of truth can all be facets of living an honorable modern life. Honor codes from earlier times resulted in the existence of lots of trained fighting men with thin skins ready to fight to the death at the drop of a hat. If you still think of honor, whether your personal honor or the honor of some group to which you belong, as something for which you must fight, you might want to consider living in the 21st century. Honor is extremely important, but in the modern world, most of us should live for honor rather than fighting for it. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.